So, dear Dharma brothers and sisters, it's a beautiful day. A beautiful day to be outside, listen to sounds, let the beautiful colors enter the eyes. Yesterday, during Kate's talk, she introduced the practice that we're hoping people will try this retreat. And that practice is turning our attention to the sounds of the world, whatever they may be, and allowing them to pass through us, allowing them to enter us, allowing them to become us. So guess what I'm going to talk about? I'm going to talk about sounds, right? But I thought I'd like to start with some advice left for us by our Japanese Zen ancestor, Ikkyu. He left us a poem. It goes like this. Every day, priests examine the Dharma and endlessly chant complicated sutras. Before doing that, they should learn how to read the love letters sent by the wind and rain, the snow and the moon. Ikkyu, one of my favorite Zen ancestors, was born into a noble household at the end of the 14th century. But his mother was in disgrace at the court. For some reason, I don't know why, had to leave. And as a result, Ikkyu was sent at the age of five, to live in a Zen temple, which was not unusual in Japan at that time. Often, I guess, same in medieval times in Europe, children were often sent to live at a convent or in a monastery. At any rate, in Japan, he has this wonderful reputation when he was a child as being quite the imp. One famous story I remember is one day he was trying to get at some sweets that were locked away. And in his rummage around the cupboard, the shelf, he knocked over his teacher's favorite tea bowl, and it broke. And so he quickly gathered up the pieces, hid them, and then sat outside on the temple steps, looking very sad and very glum. And eventually his teacher came up and sat beside him and said, "Well, what's wrong, Ikkyu? What's wrong with you?" And Ikkyu said, "Why does everything have to die?" And his teacher thought, as any good teacher would, this is the teachable moment. And so he began to explain about impermanence and how everything changes. I think you figure where this is going, right? And after his teacher had explained everything, he nodded in agreement and figured, "I understand, teacher. Thank you so much for your lesson." And then out of his sleeve, he pulled the remains of the tea bowl and said, "Oh, teacher, I'm so sorry. It was time for your tea bowl to die." When I first lived in Japan, at the age of 19, I remember on TV there were manga or cartoons of Ikkyu going through these various kind of interesting little events in his life. But Ikkyu was also deeply sincere in his practice of Zen, especially when he grew older. At one point in his life, he was abbot of Daitokuji in Kyoto, one of the most revered training monasteries in all Japan. And he had little truck with formality and rules, as we can see in this poem, right? He understood that Dharma gates are everywhere. Dharma gates are everywhere. We have only to enter them. Indeed, these gates have no doors and no barriers. Like the collection of koans that's called the Mumonkan, or gateless gate, the Dharma gates are wide open. Technically, I guess, not gates at all. The only requirement to pass through a Dharma gate is total presence. Here at Sea to Sky, our practice is learning how to read those love letters of the wind, trees, rocks, birds, clouds, the love letters of the small creatures, the water, salal, cedar, mosquitoes. As Dogen advised us, why leave behind the seat in your own home to wander in vain through the dusty realms of other lands? Our seat is right here. Our seat is right now. And our practice is to just settle into the present moment, open to the world exactly as it is. Nothing needs to be fixed. And slowly but intentionally, dropping off our distractions and our musings. As Dogen explained, do not think good or bad. Do not judge true or false. Give up the operations of the mind, intellect, and consciousness. Stop measuring with thoughts, ideas, and views. Have no designs on becoming a Buddha. This is how we learn to read those love letters. So as I mentioned yesterday, Kate introduced us to the Dharma Gate of Sound. And it's a very venerable Dharma Gate, one that our Chinese and Japanese ancestors, in their compassion, frequently pointed us to. Perhaps the most well-known koan in the West is one that was created by Hakuin Eikaku. Now, what is the sound of one hand clapping? Which is actually not a good translation. In Japanese, the koan is more simply sound of one hand. Sound of one hand. Ikkyu wrote this. The single hand has a voice. Listen to that voice. For those of you who maybe are not familiar with the Zen teacher, Zen master, Hakuin Eikaku, he was really the great reformer of Japanese Rinzai Zen in the 18th century. And he really pushed and developed the way of teaching using koans, using those kind of questions or statements. But he also really taught many people through his painting and through his calligraphy, because he really wanted to bring Zen practice to everybody. Nobody was excluded. He, I would say, and I think everyone who studies him agrees, really reinvigorated Rinzai practice, making it into a much more universal practice, one that would accept anyone who would be willing to devote themselves to a Zen practice, regardless of their social class, which is rather unusual in that time. And today, all of the Rinzai schools trace their lineage back to him, one way or another. But like Ikkyu, Hakuin was also a little bit of a character. He was very delighted with this newly created koan that he made. And he wrote in a letter to a layperson, one of his followers, "When you hear for yourself the voice of the one hand Not only do you hear the voices of all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and wise sages, not only, but you hear all the myriad voices there are, were, or ever shall be. And all of these you hear for yourself. So he thought this koan was pretty powerful. And he wasn't one to be parsimonious with self-praise. In another letter he wrote, referring to this koan of the sound of one hand, its superiority to the former methods, like moo and those other ones, is like the difference between cloud and mud. Yeah. Now, maybe some of us aren't familiar with what koans are, aside from, you know, having heard one or two now and again. So the word koan, like so many other Zen words, comes from the everyday Chinese vocabulary of ancient times, rather than being some kind of formal Buddhist word. So the word koan simply means public case. And it was a legal term, meaning a case that could be used as a legal precedent. Because it was public, and it could be used as a good model for cases that would happen later. So most of these koan are made of stories and events from the everyday lives of Chinese Zen teachers. Because our everyday life points to the truth. Our everyday life points to the truth. And these little anecdotes were collected over time, and then they started to form collections, like the Mumonkan that I mentioned earlier, the Gateless Gate. Another famous one is the Blue Cliff Record. All of these are part of our tradition as well. The single hand has a voice. Listen to that voice. How do we find that voice? Of course, it makes no sense to hold up your hand and strain to listen. Mm-hmm. Or does it? Instead of trying to think or imagine our way to an answer, remember Hakuin's instruction. The single hand has a voice. Listen to that voice. And please don't get caught up in the word hand. Listen to the voice of the rocks. Listen to the voice of the tree. The breathing of the person beside you. The sound of your body. The sound of light. Instead of turning away from your present experience, because it's a little uncomfortable, perhaps, instead of dwelling in your narratives and your evaluations, let the koan bring you into what is appearing right now. Listen. This koan points us toward the Dharma gate of sound. So, surrender. Let sound have you. At first, you'll hear the everyday sounds. The song of birds, leaves in the wind, soft wheeze of breathing beside you, and maybe the crunch of gravel underfoot as you head up for the meal. Don't go out to the sound. Don't strain to hear sound. Don't try to figure out what it is, or to try to explain it, like identifying the bird. At this point, just open to the sound, and it will come to you. Listening deepens in this practice, sometimes slowly, sometimes fast. But as it happens, shift from listening with your ears to listening with the whole body. Become the sound. Let the sound listen to you. Let the sound become you. In this way, we begin to quieten our narrative about the world and about ourselves. As Dogen wrote, if we listen with the ears, it is ultimately too difficult to understand. If we hear the sound through the eyes, we are able to know it. We listen with the whole body. Listen with your eyes. As Kate mentioned yesterday, that wonderful and famous percussionist, listening with her feet, listening with her whole body. That's what we do. There's a very wonderful, or a kind of a series of scrolls, Japanese scrolls, right? Done by a turn of the century Japanese Zen teacher and a very accomplished artist named Nakahara Nantenbo, where he simply inked his right hand in red or black and then pressed it right onto the scroll, like that. Sound of one hand. That was his answer. Sound of one hand. So how is it for you to let sound become you? What is it to let the sound or the silence become you? The silence that is there between the sounds, like a welcoming gap. And what happens when the subject, you, the object, sound, drop away? Now, there was a laywoman who lived at the same time as Hakuin, named Asan, and she practiced Zazen every morning for years. And one morning, she heard a rooster crow, and the whole world dropped away for her. And so she wrote this verse. The fields, the mountain, and my body too are the voice of the bird. What can be left that can be said to hear? The fields, the mountain, and my body too are the voice of the bird. What can be left that can be said to hear? Asan was another one of these characters. Because apparently she met Hakuin one day, going to see him at his temple. And Hakuin knew that she was a practitioner because she had studied with other Zen teachers. And so he greeted her simply by silently holding up one hand. Challenge, right? Do you hear this, Asan? Think you're special? And Asan immediately responded, even better than hearing Hakuin's sound of one hand, let's clap both hands and do some real business here. I think she must have been quite a force, full of confidence as she kind of joked around with Hakuin and they poked one another, enjoying themselves. When we practice here, listening to the subtle sounds of nature, our hearts and our mind naturally begin to settle. But what about the sounds of cars, chainsaws, lawnmowers, the partygoers next door? I mean, here's one thing, right? What about back home? And, well, I agree, it's much harder, perhaps. But I think a little humor and a little patience will help us, even there. Here's another story from the Blue Cliff Record. A monk asked Master Dotsu, "All sounds are the sounds of Buddha, right or wrong?" And Master Dotsu said, "Right." Then the monk asked, "Teacher, doesn't your asshole make farting sounds?" Dotsu then hit him. So be careful when you go into Doksan. You can be funny, but be careful. When our inner eyes and our ears, our whole body is wide and freely open, the world flows through, unobstructed. And really, there's nothing outside. Here's a poem again by Dogen. "Attaining the heart of the sutra, not even the sounds of the bustling marketplace, attaining the heart of the sutra, are not even the sounds of the bustling marketplace, the preaching of the Dharma." And farts. Perhaps you would prefer to listen to raindrops rather than farts. Although you may not have much say in the matter today or tomorrow. Here is yet one more little offering from the Blue Cliff Record, case 49. This one's called Jinqing's Voice of the Raindrops. And I'm cutting out a little bit of the commentary, just kind of giving us the gist of the story. Jinqing asked the monk, "What's that sound outside?" And the monk replied, "Oh, that's the sound of raindrops." And Jinqing said, "People are backwards. They lose themselves and pursue things." The monk thought a moment and said, "What about you?" And Jinqing replied, "I almost don't lose myself." The monk said, "Well, hey, wait. What is the meaning of reaching, I almost don't lose myself?" And Jinqing said, "It may be easy to free oneself, but to say the whole thing is surely difficult." Now, Jinqing was a great teacher in his time, and is said to have a special connection to the water sounds. That was his Dharma gate. When he was a young monk, he entered the monastery of another famous teacher, known as Shui Feng, who became his root teacher. And when Jinqing appeared to him as a young man, first entering the monastery, he asked his teacher this question: "As a student entering this monastery, I ask you to point me on the way. Point me on the way." And the master replied, Do you hear that water flowing over the dam?" And Jinqing replied, "Yes." To which Shui Feng, the master, said, enter there. We too can enter the Dharma gate of rain or wind, the sound of water, the sound of silence. Enter there. What's that sound outside the door? It's Lee coming in. What's that sound outside the door? The monk said the sound of raindrops. But Jinjing was asking for something more than the obvious, something more than our everyday categorizing, discriminating, and isolating ways of perceiving the world. So he said to his monk, people are backwards, meaning you're backwards. They lose themselves and pursue things. And really, isn't this the case? Outside the door, it's raining, and we're in here safe and dry. Us and the world. Or should I say, me and the world. Throughout this life, we have built walls and doors to protect ourselves, to help support our endless kind of clinging and aversion, to try over and over to make this life and this world behave as I want it to. And so in our endless project of doing this, we actually lose ourselves, wandering around like lost children, not really sure which direction to go. All the while, though, longing for home. How do we do this? The young monk asked, and Jinjing replies, it may be easy to free oneself, but to say the whole thing is surely difficult. I think Jinjing was pointing the young monk to the sound of rain. Right? What's that sound outside? Perhaps asking the monk, how is it for you? This moment right now. Do you hear it? Is it you? It's so easy to listen to rain, no effort required, and yet to say something about the deep intimacy that is always present would just be confusing and not quite right. The Dharma gates are always present. The Dharma gates are always in the present. Become the rain. That's what Jinjing was saying. Are you the rain yet? Here's a poem again by Dogen, repeating this. Seeing with ears, hearing with eyes, there is no doubt that the jewel-like raindrops dripping from the eaves are myself. And one more little short poem about rain, just because I love this little poem, by a 20th century Japanese Zen monk named Santoka. And he wrote, just as it is, it rains, I get wet, I walk. Just as it is, it rains, I get wet, I walk. Remember that poem by Dogen I read just a few moments ago with the lines that end, are not even the sounds of the bustling marketplace the preaching of the Dharma. Well, that poem echoes, I think, the famous poem by Sudongpo, who was a Song Dynasty poet and scholar official, and also a Zen practitioner, but he was a layman. And one day, after spending some time visiting his Zen teacher who lived up a mountain, Sudongpo went down the mountain heading home and spent the night beside a river at the base of the mountain, probably doing yaza or doing night sitting. And in the next morning, he picked up his brush and he wrote this poem. The sound of the stream is his long, broad tongue. The mountain form, his immaculate body. Throughout the night, 84,000 sutras. How will I tell them tomorrow? The sound of the stream is his long, broad tongue. The mountain form, his immaculate body. Throughout the night, 84,000 sutras. How will I tell them tomorrow? Everything is the body of the Buddha. Everything speaks the Dharma. We have only to stop our frantic rushing. Please, for the rest of this retreat, sit like a mountain, like the vast lake that's just below us here. Listen to the sounds as they occur, not picking and choosing. Just with wide open awareness, sit like a contented cat. Let the sounds come to you. Let the sounds touch you. Enter you, pass through you, and drop away. Rest in the moments of silence, wide open, heart, body, and mind. Please receive the music of this place, the music of the moment. And in this way, you will take your place here. Your life fully expressed. Really, there's nothing special you need to do. I remember one of my teachers telling me this many, many years ago. And I didn't believe him. Surely I've got to do something special. Become better, fix myself. But that's just my story. Please don't make it yours. Let it go. Thank you.